Sunday school lesson today is Joy Unspeakable. Our devotional and background study comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 15. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service is not only the church not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. There be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time I'll ask teachers to take charge of the class. Our reading lesson today comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And I'll read that, and then I've got some other passages in the Bible that I want to read also. And as I said, you know, the title of our lesson is Joy Unspeakable. And I'm sure that y'all all understand that the joy that's spoken of is in the Bible is the joy that we get when we have communion with God, the joy that we feel in our hearts when the Lord moves in our hearts. And we felt that some this week. But I suspect that the world in general, I know the world in general, doesn't understand that. They can't understand that. But we that are here today, everyone that's saved, can understand that. But I want you to keep in mind that that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about a carnal joy here. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And the thought just came to my mind as I was reading this, that in the Bible it says that now we see through a glass darkly. I don't know if I got that exactly right, but the thought being that we can't understand, we can't fully grasp everything. You know, no matter how much we study the Bible, there's always a deeper layer, a deeper meaning. And I'm convinced that this joy, that we experience sometimes, this closeness to God, is just a shadow of the joy that we're going to experience when we get to heaven. And then it truly is going to be joy unspeakable, joy such that we can't imagine it. The Bible teaches us that eyes not seen, ears not has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that he has in store for those that love him. And that's when our joy is going to be complete and fulfilled, when we get over to the other side. But he says here that though now in the sixth verse, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that is, many trials and heartaches are here upon this earth, and we are it is necessary for us to endure those. But if we will draw near to God and be near him, be where he would have us to be, he'll see us through those, so that even in those trials and temptations, we can have his spirit upon us. It can be moving in us to give us comfort and to help us through those things that may await us here on earth. And I think the Brother Woodard spoke earlier this week, and he said something to the effect that if you're going through your life as a Christian and you're not running into these trials and temptations, there's something wrong. And I know that's true. When things are going really well and I'm not having any kind of problems in my life, I tend to stray away from God. I tend to, the Bible teaches us that the Bible says, woe to those that are in comfort in Zion, or I got that, that we rest. We grow lax. We don't strive to do his will. That's my experience with myself. When I don't have the, when I'm not being tried with that fire that it says here that tries our faith, then I do separate myself from God. And it's not him. He's not separating from me. He's not drawing back. It's me. I'm getting a little bit off subject, but the point that I want to make is when I do that, when I grow that way, when I grow lax and at ease, then I don't experience that joy so much. You know, occasionally I may have a little bit of that, but where it's really prominent, where it really stands out, is when I have a burden. When I have a burden for the lost, or for a family member, or one of y'all that's going through some kind of problem. When I have that heaviness, then the Lord turns that into joy. He meets with me and he gives me comfort for whatever it is that may be going on. So I guess the thought there is, there is a joy in this life. You know, I can have joy in things, but those things are corruptible. They rust, they fade away, they get to where they just don't mean so much to me after a time period. And most of the time, it's a pretty short time period. You know, a new car doesn't stay new very long at all. It doesn't take long before you start to get dings and dents, and you discover that it wasn't made quite as well as maybe it could have been made, and you start having problems with it. That joy doesn't last very long at all. But the joy that is comes from the Lord lasts throughout this life, and it'll last throughout eternity. It will be there, and it will be a well within us that springs up and is renewed day by day if we turn to him and if we rely upon him. I want to go for just a second to the 16th division of Psalms. Dropping down to verse 7 through 11, it says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave any soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, this is a psalm of David, and basically what I gather from this, I believe what he's stating here is that when he draws near to the Lord sees him through hard times. It sees him through. It says here in the seventh verse, my rains also instruct me in the night seasons. Rains, I've been told, is in reference to kidneys and in the blood. And I believe what he's saying here is the Spirit of the Lord instructs him in times of darkness, in times of when he can't see the light, when he can't tell what's going to happen, when he has doubts in his mind, the Lord instructs him, the Lord guides him. And that's where our joy comes from as saved individuals, that instruction and that guidance from the Lord. Now, I said earlier, when I was standing up there, I pray sometimes for instructions and guidance, but I don't prepare myself. I'm not prepared to receive that, and that's a sin on my part. But if I am prepared, He'll be there. He'll answer that prayer, and He'll give me the guidance that I need. And as the brother preached on earlier this week, and this really struck home with me, you know, he was talking about obedience, and I've always thought, you know, well, to be obedient to God is the primary thing that I need to do. But we need to go, and this was eye-opening for me. We need to be submissive unto God to do His will. And, you know, if we truly are obedient, we'll understand that. We'll be submissive because that's what the Bible teaches us, to obey Him. And what He says is to love one another, to be filled up with love. And that's what we'll do. But to just go through the motions, that's really not being obedient to God. That's not what He wants us to do, to put on an outward show. So we might feel that we're being obedient, but the truth is we're not. I don't want to get sidetracked and restate what the preacher said, but it opened my eyes to some things. It had its effect on me. I want to go now back to the third chapter of Ezra and read the 11th through the 13th verse. This is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Axerus the king, thy servants, the men at this side of the river. And at such time, be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come into Jerusalem, building I'm sorry, but I've written down the wrong... This is not what I meant to read. I wrote down the wrong chapter or the wrong verse here somewhere. Well, I'm sorry, y'all. I messed that one up. Somewhere in Ezra, it speaks about the foundation being laid and how they shouted with joy. And that's what I wanted to read unto you. But since I don't know where that is right now, because I wrote it down wrong. Okay, thank you. Okay. And they sang together by the course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. This is people that has been in captivity, and they went into captivity because of their sins. And the Lord has allowed them to come out of captivity, and their temple had been destroyed, and they are in the process of rebuilding that temple here. And evidently, the younger ones, they had been in captivity a length of time so that the younger people didn't even remember what the old temple must have looked like. But it says here, the ancient ones wept because they remembered. They remembered what things used to be like. And I believe the reason they're weeping is because they remember the closeness that they had in times past. They remember how things were. And we talk about that sometimes. And we can see, I think there's a picture out here on the board where a great number are being baptized because a lot of people got saved. And we remember those things. We're very similar to these people here. And but the point that I'm trying to bring out here is they're working for God. They're laying this temple. They're drawing back near to God. They're trying to serve Him as best they can. And the Lord's blessing them for the effort that they're putting forth. I don't think that this the foundation here that's being laid is in comparison to what these ancient men, it speaks of, remembered, because that was a great, the temple that Solomon built was a great sight. It was a glorious thing, and the Lord was with them in a great way. These older men remember that, and yet they're getting another chance here. The old men know that there's a long way to go, but still the presence of the Lord is with them. He's blessing them, and they're rejoicing and they're shouting. And it's a great shout. It says that it was heard afar off. I can picture this. I don't know how many people that it would be, but to be heard a long ways off, it had to be a great number of people. And they've gathered around, they've served the Lord, and they're striving to get things back right with the Lord. They're trying to be humble, and the Lord is blessing that effort. And they feel that joy there. All right, let's go now to Nehemiah in chapter 8. Verse 9 through 12. And Nehemiah, which is the Tishbeath, and Ezra, the priest of the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord. The law has been read unto the people, and the people have understood that they have fallen short, how that they haven't kept the law the way that they ought to. That was what occurred before the text that I'm reading right now. This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. We as God's people need to have that burden for the lost at all times, I believe. We need to keep them constantly on our minds. And I'll be the first to say that I fail at that very much. I have a great difficulty keeping the things of the world at bay. I have a hard time putting things out of my mind, and that's not right. That's not okay. I need to be thoughtful a lot about the lost. I need to consider where it is that they're going. I need to keep that picture in my mind of hell that is awaiting them. But the Lord wants us also to experience joy, and I think this is what He's saying to them here, that there's a time when we as God's people get together, and He wants to fill us with His Spirit. He wants us to rejoice and to enjoy the fruit of our labors, to enjoy the fellowship with Him, and to feel that presence among us. And that's not a feeling of mourning at that time. So there is a time for mourning, and we need to, and that's not pleasant, but it needs very much to be done. But there's also a time when the Lord will bless us, when He'll meet with us and give us strength to carry on, and give us that joy down in our hearts that we can feel. And I think that's what the Levites were saying to this people, because this people, when the law was read to them and they understood how far short they had fallen, they were repenting. They had bowed down for the Lord and asked for forgiveness. And so the Lord is willing to forgive when his people turn to him. All right, we've spoke about obedience and submission, and I'm going to go now to John, and then this will pretty much finish up everything that I have to say here. But you know, here in the 15th chapter of John, starting at the 9th verse, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." We speak about obedience, and we speak about submission and serving God, but Jesus made it very simple and very plain here that what we need to do is love one another, and we need to love the lost. And that sounds simple, but when you get down, and we talk about this, I talk about this all the time when I stand up here, that where it says greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I've said it before, you know, I might possibly be willing to give my life up to save one of y'all, or I certainly would one of my family members. But I believe he's talking here about strangers. I believe he's talking about people that we don't know, or people that we do know that we don't like. And, you know, I'm not there. I'll be the first to admit. But that's what we ought to be striving to be willing to die if the Lord needed us to for the lost. And that doesn't sound right. I don't want to say that in any way we could stand in Jesus' place. But what I do mean is that we have such a love in our heart for people that we would be willing to sacrifice things, that we would be willing to give up things, that we'd take the time to put aside ourselves for a little bit and talk to them or be an example to them, to the lost, to the world in general, because we're concerned with them, because we have a love in our hearts. And that's what it takes to be obedient to God. Really, that's what he wants from us. That's what Jesus is telling us here, that we would have a love in our hearts for people the way that he did. And then he says that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. That's where the joy comes from, when we put aside our own desires, our own wants, and ourselves. When we lay those things to the side and we have in our hearts a concern, a desire for other people, a desire to see that they hear the gospel, a desire that they might do well, that they might be healed. When we can get that to that place, we can experience this joy unspeakable in a great way. We can begin to see a little glimpse of what it's going to be like in heaven. I don't think while we're here in this body, we're ever going to truly understand that joy that's going to be ours in heaven. But when we can lay aside ourselves for a period of time and serve other people the way that Jesus served all of mankind, we can kind of begin to see it. We can kind of get a little bit of a glimpse of it. I guess that's everything that I have for today. Does anybody have any thoughts or any comments? appreciate everybody coming and being here today. And I want to say also, it's good to be here. It's good to be back. If there are no comments, we can be dismissed. Let's keep the preacher in our prayers. Lord, might guide him and be with him. And I'll ask Brother Jimmy if he would dismiss us.